Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. And so yesterday, ahead of the storms, I learned after our flower baskets got knocked over three or four times earlier this summer, I went out and put them all at ground level in preparation for the storm. And I don't think we got hit with such a bad one where I live. Victor Gensini is a NIU meteorology professor in Northern Illinois. Go Huskies. Victor, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
How about that? My wife was a Husky, so I know from that. So let's start in Wisconsin. We were talking yesterday at this time that they might be in line for a derecho. It looks like they had some terrible weather, but it didn't quite meet derecho standards, correct?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, as a meteorologist, we have high standards for some of these definitions, and certainly portions of central Wisconsin, and especially just north and west of Milwaukee, significant damaging winds upwards of 70, maybe even 80 miles per hour. A couple of reported tornadoes just outside of Milwaukee. But overall, the damaging winds didn't really extend as far south as we had originally thought down into Chicago. This will probably not be classified as a derecho, certainly not like the one that we saw on August 10th of last year that produced over $10 billion in damage. But nevertheless, it was still a pretty significant windstorm.
I'd never heard of a derecho, I don't think, until that one that came through Chicago. They must not be a new development, are they?
Really not. The term derecho is actually of Spanish origin. It means to the front or straight ahead. These storms typically have very strong, straight-line, forward-propagating winds. And really, Northern Illinois is no stranger to these. We get, you know, on average, one of these every other year or so. I think the media sort of popularized the term after the big storm last year, and the term derecho itself became much more prominent.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
In normal lexicon.
I get that. The media can take those storms. Let me ask you another question. We were talking about this with earlier this week Victor Ramon, or I'm sorry, I'm blanking, but do storms intensify over the lake, or does that tend to deaden them, or is there no real impact? I was talking with Albert Ramon, that's what I was trying to think of, as these storms were scheduled to sort of go over Wisconsin and then into Michigan.
It is definitely circumstantial. There are times when, especially when the lake is cold, storms will propagate over the lake and immediately dissipate. There are cases like last night, actually, where they will just sustain themselves over the lake or even become enhanced. So it's definitely dependent on the temperature of the lake and what we call the temperature profile, the vertical temperature profile over the lake as these storms progress over. So it's definitely a seasonal thing, and it usually depends on the temperature of the lake water.
When I was a kid, my parents had a one-car detached garage that faced west, and when there were storm warnings out, we would go and sit in the garage in lawn chairs, you know, and watch them roll into town. That was kind of the thing.
Same here, Steve. Same here. Same thing here.
Yeah, and so, but it seemed like we spent a lot of time in the basement, a lot more time than as my adulthood has sent me to the basement. And, you know, I was wondering about that, but that speaks probably more to the forecasting technology than the weather, right?
We are not warning large areas like we used to in the 70s, 80s, and 90s because our Doppler radar technology has gotten better. Our understanding of storm dynamics and how they work has gotten better. And so we're really warning smaller areas with these smaller polygons and really trying to not, you know, disseminate warnings and create big false alarms, right? We're really trying to hone in on the areas that are most at risk. And so your perception of what has happened is definitely a function of better warning technology and better understanding of storms.
Victor Gensini is an NIU meteorology professor. Okay, so did you spend time in the basement as a kid? Did you do the same thing?
I was constantly looking out the window, I think. but yeah, I mean, from a young age, I was always fascinated with weather, and I think that the event that sealed the deal for me was the April 20th 2004 tornado that hit Granville in Utica. You may remember that storm. That one, to me, I think I saw the damage firsthand at my local high school, and it sent me on a career path to NIU in meteorology.
It's funny how things happen as kids. I'll just one more personal story, but my dad and his family, he was a young child, had the house taken off the top of them in a tornado in maybe 45, 47, right around there, in Manteno. The silo still stands along I-57, but they literally were in the basement and the house was taken off. And growing up, we just were fascinated by storms. Okay, so enough of me and enough of you, I guess, but are storms getting stronger, or is that just sort of in our imagination?
Well, climate change is certainly having an impact on a multitude of different weather phenomena across the Midwest in general. I mean, things like drought and flooding. As you get to the smaller hazards like hail and tornadoes, it's much harder to say with certainty exactly how climate change is impacting those phenomena. What we do know is where they're happening is changing. So in throughout the 40s, 50s, 60s, I mean, think back to Wizard of Oz and 70s, 80s, and as we get to the 90s, I mean, it was this tornado alley phenomena that tornadoes happened in Kansas and Oklahoma, right? And as our research at NIU has shown, they're actually where they're happening with greatest frequency has been moving. We're seeing more of these events happen in the Midwest and Mid-South. And, of course, that's a big deal because we have more people living as you get east of the Mississippi River. So it's something we've been tracking over the last 10 to 15 years and something that we're really interested in continuing to study.
So are storms more, the tornadoes more dissipated altogether, or are you saying Tornado Alley has shifted?
Well, what's interesting is the number of strong tornadoes. So, like, let's say Fujita scale 1 and above. We use the Fujita scale to rank tornadoes. Mm-hmm. If you look at the number of those over the last 50 years, it's dead constant. There's no change at all. But if you look at where they're happening, they've been decreasing in places like Texas and Oklahoma and increasing in places like Arkansas, Tennessee, and portions of Illinois and Indiana.
Wow, that's...
Right, that the total number is changing, because it's not. It's where they're happening that's changing.
And so that would change, I guess, the way you as a weather forecaster sort of approaches things when you look at storms developing.
Well, not only that, it changes the landscape of the human element, right? If tornadoes are no longer happening in western Kansas with greatest frequency, and all of a sudden it's eastern Kansas, well, the population and if you look at all the demographics of places like the southeastern United States, we're much likely to get tornado injuries and fatalities because we have a lot more people living in weak frame housing stock like mobile homes there. So it's a huge warning challenge that we've been seeing here over the last 10 to 15 years.
Victor Gensini is a meteorology professor for Northern Illinois. Right, and people aren't as used to it, so they might react to the storms differently. For example, I got a text here from a knucklehead in Milwaukee who said his tornado siren went off at 1:31 this morning. He's 50 years old, and he went out on the sidewalk to watch it. I'm not sure about that guy.
Well, Steve, I mean, if all of your listeners right now, close your eyes and imagine a tornado. Imagine where you're standing, what time of day it is, where you're at. I mean, many people are going to say, oh, I'm in western Kansas and it's evening and I see Wizard of Oz in front of me. Well, as we saw last night, these storms happen at any time of the day. You can't necessarily see the tornadoes because they're shrouded in rain. And I think the public perception of tornadoes, because they're so rare, is often shaped by Hollywood.
Victor Gensini from Northern Illinois University. Great to talk to you, Professor. I appreciate it.
Great to be on the show.
Yep, you're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. It's a Your Hometown Day, by the way. We're focusing on Westtown. That takes up Wicker Park, Bucktown, areas like that of the city. So we're going to highlight that throughout the program. We'll head to Lollapalooza as well because, well, it's obligatory. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in just a couple of minutes.